Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mo.
Thank you so much, Brother Larry and Brother Chumby. New Jerusalem, it is closer than ever before. And the beauty about it, it doesn't have to be a dream. It can be our reality. Can you imagine with Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Ghost, singing to us, welcoming us into eternal life? Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, right? For those of you worshiping with us for the first time, we want to give you a warm Lansing greeting, and we hope that you will make this your family. What a privilege it is as well that we can gather together. And last Sabbath, I remember encouraging us to be faithful in our giving. And Brother Allen, you can correct me, but I believe, church family, we are in the black. Amen? God is faithful, and we do not want to relax. We want to keep expanding for the glory of God. But God is faithful, isn't He? We are not so concerned about the amount as upon the trust that we have in God to take care of His church. And God is so faithful. At this time, let us have a word of prayer as we journey deeper into the Word of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as many people are going to and fro around this season, summer has begun. But Father, we want to dedicate this season to You and to Your service. We pray as we study the Word of God that Your Word will be clear, and that as we study Your Word, that we'll not only be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, if you're there, if you could say a good amen. Praise the Lord. Last Sabbath, we talked about this verse, and we left one part of it, and that is the part we're going to cover today. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the title is Faith Over Fear. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." The ability to overcome fear is a gift of God. We saw that last week. Because fear can make us at times feel powerless. But God has given us power to overcome, and He has given us the assurance of His love, the protection and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is able to give us power when we need it to overcome fear. We're also grateful for the love that God gives us, because God assures us of His love, but He also calls us to love one another. To love one another. And today, as we look into the Word of God, there's another part to this trinity of overcoming fear. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. When you think about the brain, it weighs about, an average brain weighs about how many pounds? 7 pounds. Wow, that is an advanced brain. On average, the brain weighs about 3 pounds. 3 pounds. And your brain, this 3-pound thing, takes about 20% of all your oxygen. Think about that. The human brain runs at about 20 watts of power, enough to power a light bulb. That is what's going on up here. And what is amazing about the brain is that the brain cannot feel pain. It does not feel pain. It interprets pain, and signals are sent to it, but it does not feel pain. Your brain's storage capacity is considered immense, and researchers suggest that the human brain consists of more than 86 billion neurons, which could add up to about 1 quadrillion, which is 1 trillion connections in your brain. The storage is unlimited, and the brain is a powerful thing. For God has given us a sound, what, my friends? A sound mind. The word that Paul uses there as well is very unique. It is a word by the name of sanphronismo. It is translated or written this way in a very unique way. It is actually the only time it is found written this way in the entire scripture, a sound mind. But the question I want to ask for you today is, how do we keep our minds sound? How do we keep our minds sound in a world that is going wild, in a world that is broken down, in a world where evil seems to prevail? How do we keep our minds untainted by the world, that we might still have a sound mind? If there's one greatest tragedy in this life, it is that of losing our mind. The Bible wants to ensure that we can have life and life more abundantly, and it gives us keys to keeping our mind sound. And I got to tell you, friends and family, this is of the most important thing, because the mind must be kept sound. Here the Bible gives us 5 letters or 5 keys, and they make up the word, guess what, my friends? It makes up the word faith. So I want you to stay with me. This is a little bit more of a teaching moment of a sermon. It's going to make up the word faith, how to keep a sound mind. So faith starts with what letter? F. Very good. You already have A plus. F. F stands for fortify your mind with truth. Turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to use our Bibles quite a bit. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9, Paul tells us there something very, very important. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. The Bible says it this way. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." In other words, we are not called to consume everything that the world throws at us. We are not called to just be consumers. We are called for something much higher. Our minds are called to focus on the truth, to be fortified by the truth. So much so that in the Word of God, one of the fruits of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, is the gift of self-control. Somebody should have said amen. When we invite the Holy Spirit in our lives, He gives us the ability to have self-control. Now let's put this together with the mind. In other words, our minds are not to be allowed to run wild. My young friends, as you're growing in the Lord, maybe you're in high school, you're about to go to college, or maybe you're in college or done with college, your mind is not to run wild. God has given us the ability to put a governor on the mind, to give us self-control about our thoughts, about our desires, about the things that we want to do. God can give us the power to limit the things in our minds that are not right. Amen? The governor of the mind is the will. It is the only thing that we can give to God is our will. It is the governor of the mind. And if you and I say today, my mind just runs wild all the time, it might be that we have not asked the Holy Spirit to give us self-control. It might be that we have not asked for the fruits of the Spirit in our life. If you and I today struggle with a mind that is running wild, God can bring it back. Amen? The thoughts and the imaginations, the desires, the passions, all of those things can be governed through the power of the Holy Spirit if we surrender our will. There are so many things happening today in the world that are symptoms of people's minds running wild. There are a lot of people today that are hurt, broken relationships, broken lives, because somebody let their mind run wild. Families, societies, all of these things today, there's good news, my friends. God has the power to give you self-control. Man. But God is not going to force you to change your mind. We have to feed our mind with the truth. If you and I are being entertained by things that are not true, we will lose the soundness of our mind. We must fortify the mind with good things. And I'm telling you, my friends, today it's like evil is chasing after us, isn't it? You're trying to do the right thing. You're doing all these things, and it's coming after you at full speed. And the devil is trying to tell you, I am going to overwhelm you. But God says today, I have given you the power to guard your mind. To say, no, I don't need to go there. I can go a different direction. But fortify your mind with the truth. Amen? What comes after F, my friends? Amen. You guys are good. You must be from Lansing. After you fortify your mind with the truth, this may sound very simple, but it's so important. Learn, A, to admire God's greatness every day. Develop an attitude of gratitude. You see, attitude oftentimes is a choice. It is a choice. You and I can develop an attitude of gratitude or an attitude of hate, of remorse, of sadness, of anger, of pessimism. You see, my friends, so many times we spend so much time thinking about the things of this world that we forget to bask in the goodness of God. It is true, the clouds, today's a beautiful day. So this sermon, you know, for this would have been a great winter sermon. But even when the clouds come, the sun still shines above the clouds. There are thorns upon the roses, but the rose is still a rose. There are many things in our lives, yes, that are hard. Things that have happened in our experience that are hard. And even at this moment, life is still hard. If you say, well, Pastor, life is easy, I want to know about your life. It is hard. But God is still alive. Amen? My Father still has authority on this earth and the things of heaven. God is still a good God, even in a world of sin. My favorite author, Ellen White, in the book Our Father Cares, page 148, she says, never for a moment should you allow Satan to think that he has power to distress and annoy is greater than the power of Christ to uphold and to strengthen. Let's put it in simple English. God is bigger than Satan. God is bigger than the world. God is bigger than my problem. God is bigger than my past. God is bigger than anything I will ever face. So I will choose to dwell on the greatness of God. Everything in this life, apart from God, will not last forever. My brother and sister, that backache that you have, it will not last forever. Amen? My children, maybe the toothache that you have or the challenge in your life that is going on, it will not last forever. But God will last forever. Choose, like Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. I believe the greatest tragedy in life is building your life just for this life and not for the kingdom to come. To spend so much time and energy building our kingdom here on earth while God is telling us you have a better kingdom. Maybe you have no home to stay in, no place to lay your head, but there's a mansion in heaven for you. Maybe money is really dry, but God has already promised you that He will fulfill all your needs. Learn to admire the greatness of God. And the best way to do that is in the little things of life. In the little things of life. One of the most famous drivers, Formula One drivers, is a man named Michael Schumacher. He drove a Ferrari, and he was fast. He made a lot of money, and one day he was skiing in France, and as he was skiing in France, he had a very tragic accident. Almost paralyzed him. He lost part of his mind, and he had to be in bed. He's bedridden most of his life now. And they were interviewing his son, and his son was thinking about how his life went from greatness to tragedy. And how his father and him, they could not talk about all those things. And he said, I am willing to give up everything just to talk to him about racing. You know, sometimes in life we focus on big things and all those things, but we forget the beauty of the little things. Just to have a conversation with someone you love. Just to have that hand, that encouraging hand. Just to have the air that we breathe. All these things are God's gift to you and I, amen? In the book of James, it tells us clearly that every good thing comes from the Father of lights. And he loves you and I, amen? So F stands for fortify your mind on the truth. A stands for admire God's greatness. And what comes after A? I, very good. And that stands for invigorate your mind with healthy habits. Some of you are going to say, oh, here, pastor goes again. No, but you got to stay with me, my friends, because the great controversy is being fought, guess where? In the mind. The battle for the great controversy is a battle for the mind, for the human mind. More specifically, it is a battle for worship. And worship involves the mind. Go with me to Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. By the way, my friends, are you still with me? Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. The word of God there says it this way. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. It says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Quiz question for you guys. What do you think the word heart there means? What does it literally mean? Don't worry, you won't pass or fail. It literally means the gut. The gut. David there says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my gut. All right, Pastor Mo, what are you talking about now? Did you know that your stomach has its own nervous system? It's called an enteric nervous system. It is independent of the brain and the spinal cord, but affects all of them. According to the Bible, how we treat our body affects what? The mind. Have you ever said to yourself, I have a gut feeling? Right? Have you ever thought about that? Say, I have a gut feeling. Where does that come from? How we treat our bodies affects the mind. The whole reason for the health message is not to appear more righteous than other people. And if somebody does that, they're not under the right spirit. Even say, oh, you know, I'm more healthy than you. I'm doing all these things. That is not the right spirit. The whole reason why we believe in a health message is so that we can have a sound mind. For the battle is for the mind. So much so that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 34 to 36, for the sake of time, we won't turn there, but you can mark it in your notes. It is when Jesus is on the cross, they offered him vinegar mixed with gall. And that mixture was a mixture that was intended to dull the pain, but also to dull the senses. Now, was Jesus in a lot of pain on that cross? Yes, he was. But why did he say no? Because he was trying to keep his mind. Now, I'm not telling you today, stop taking your medication. Don't do that. But what Christ was doing is that he needed to be fully focused on the salvation of humanity, and he would not let his mind wander on the task that he had to do. For Christ, even at the cross, what he was focused on was that of having a sound mind. My friends, the greatest tragedy today is to waste our mind. It is to let our mind go and to run its own way, while God is trying to tell us, no, you only have one mind. Keep it sound. My friends, invigorate your mind and my mind with good habits. Something that I myself am working on, I am not the best sleeper. My wife can attest to that. I need to work on having a better sleep time. Whatever it is, you know what it is, between you and the Holy Spirit, do it not for the sake of appearing better than other people, but do it so that your mind will be sound to hear the will of God in your life and in my life. So F stands for fortify your mind in the truth. A stands to admire the goodness of God. I stands for invigorate your mind with healthy habits. And what comes after I, my friends? T. This is a pastoral version of New Start. Trust in God. More importantly, have a personal relationship with God that's your own. My friends, our faith cannot depend upon other people. We are approaching a time in Earth's history where our faith must be our own. Where there will be people to our left and to our right who might have walked this way, but they have left the faith. You might have people in our lives that we have looked to, but are no longer in the faith. I remember doing a little trip on social media, which I don't do often, but I remember hearing all of these different things about these people that walked in the truth, left the truth, and they're trying to convince you to follow their journey. But there's a big problem with that. We don't follow a man, we follow Jesus Christ. Amen? A person may have had a bad experience, and sometimes we in the church, we don't treat our own very well sometimes. That is very true. Sometimes we can become like venomous snakes and all those different things, and that is not right, and we ought to do our best. But at the end of the day, I follow Jesus Christ. And when things get tough, I follow Jesus Christ. You and I today, we must develop a trust in God that is our own. We must have an experience with God, have a relationship with Jesus that is our own. Because if you tell me today, God is not faithful, I can point to you this week what he has done. If you tell me, the Bible is not true, I could tell you from my own experience, God's word is true. And when things get tough, I can tell you from the word of God, and you can tell me that God is always faithful. Anxiety fades when we trust God. To put our lives in those loving hands that has formed us, there's nothing more beautiful than trusting in God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 30, on the Sermon on the Mount, it is amazing to see how much time God spent on making sure that his children were not anxious. Now, anxiety, have you ever experienced anxiety, my friends? I have. It is not fun. And I could see God there looking at all these people being very anxious, and he says these words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 30. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your what? About your life. What you will eat and what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not your life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of more value than they? Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither spin nor toil. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? My friends, does God care?
Yes, he does.
Have this experience with God of trusting in God for yourself, and you will see that your Father cares. And lastly, and this is very important, what is the last letter in faith? It is the letter H. And H stands for hope in God. Fear makes us feel powerless. And sometimes things happen to us that cause us to fear. But hope in God. One day, God will make things right. One day, God will bring justice to what you have felt was unjust. One day, God will do whatever it takes. And we know that if we hope in God, everything will turn out okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, you know it very well. It says, for all things work together for the good of those who do what, my friends? Who trust in him. Hope is not a feeling. Hope is a choice. It is a decision to say, God, I might not understand why, but I choose to give you the last word in my life. I don't understand why this is going on in my family. I don't understand why this is going on in my job. I don't understand why this is going on right now in my life, but I know you will have the last word. For I choose today to hope in Jesus. And when you hope in God, you will always have a sound mind. Because you will have a mind that chooses faith over fear. For God has given us power and the assurance of his love and of a sound mind. So you and I do not fear. Amen? For if God is with us, who can be what? Who can be against us? It's going to be a while since I'm going to address you the next time. So I want to make a special call today. I want to make a call, and this is between you and the Lord. Have you felt for most of your life, maybe you've been living in the cage of fear, shackled by the golden chains of anxiety? As a result, it has paralyzed your faith in God. Or maybe there's something going on right now in your life that has caused you to doubt God's goodness in your life. And today, as you're looking at your life, you're saying, I want to live a life of faith, not a life of fear. I want to live a life that is free in Christ, not in bondage to sin. For some of you, maybe your mind has been going wild for a long time. Maybe as a result of that, you have patterns in your mind that have caused you to lose a grip on your faith. Maybe there are things that have been etched in your mind that you wish you did not know. Whatever it is, God can heal our minds. Amen? The Bible says itself by the renewing of the mind. But in order for us to have a renewed mind, we must be willing to give our will to Jesus Christ. To give him the permission every day to change our mind so that we can have a sound mind. Ultimately, the mind of Christ. Today, many of us here, we need freedom. We need peace. We need a new mind. It is not going to be easy because the devil wants your mind. But like we learned today, greater is God than the devil. The appeal today is, will you be willing to give your mind to Christ? And say, Lord, I want to take care of my mind, and I want my mind to be filled with you. I want to give you an opportunity today to lay it all down at the foot of the cross. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, the greatest battle at this time is not somewhere in the Middle East or somewhere in Eastern Europe or in Africa, South America, or somewhere around the world. The greatest battle we are fighting right now is a battle over our mind. For the devil wants our worship. He wants our life. And Father, today we want to consecrate ourselves to not choosing to have a mind of the world, but to have a mind like Christ. We pray, Father, today that you would give us victories over some of our thought patterns, over some of our destructive habits, so that we can have a sound mind. At this time, we ask for your Holy Spirit to fall upon us and to bear the fruits, which one of them is self-control, to heal the broken walls of our senses, to renew our mind so that we may be able to understand your will for our lives and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Give us a new mind in Christ. And when you come again, may you see you in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.